This is the Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. It's Panthers Pulse, Mike Kraft, along with the entire Panthers.com crew, Brian Strickland, Max Henson, and guys, this is the only TV show this month that Jim Nantz does not host.
We tried to get him, didn't we, Mike?
A tradition like no other.
Oh, boy.
The Panthers Pulse. How many of those can we work into the show?
Let's give it a shot. He was in Phoenix, of course, for the Final Four. I was in Phoenix for the owners' meetings. That was kind of tough to leave and not be able to hang around for the games. But, you know, we had our own party down at the owners' meeting.
Well, I know you had a party last night. And before we move on, Max, we got to give our UNC alum, Brian Strickland, kudos to his Tar Heels for pulling it out last night.
There are a lot of Tar Heels in this building. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of smiling people here around Bank of America Stadium, including Brian, although, as we discussed in the office before the show, the game ended the way Tar Heel fans hoped, but getting to that ending was a little tougher to watch for many neutral observers. I don't know, Brian. What do you think?
I want to throw the challenge flag a lot. You know, it was not a vintage championship game if you didn't care who won, you know, for the casual fan that didn't have a rooting interest. But I did have a rooting interest, so it turned out okay.
Yeah, and I was pulling for the Tar Heels. I like living in the state of the national champions. You know, we have the women down in South Carolina. Congratulations to them.
Clemson football, by the way. Clemson
just
football,
to show people that I actually do pay attention to something other than football.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're getting across here. And, Brian, you know, we got to get back to football, though, because only the NFL can bring the needle right back to the NFL after the national championship game. But first, let's follow up on the league meetings, because you were there. You'll do a lot of heavy lifting on this segment. Just talk about some of the big things that came out of that league meeting last week.
Yeah, I mean, relatively quiet if you weren't a Raiders fan. Obviously, that was the biggest news across the league. The Raiders headed to Las Vegas was huge news. You know, from a rules change standpoint, some interesting changes, more kind of administrative. The under-the-hood tradition is no more, Mike. The ref, we've seen it a million times, going over to the sidelines, going under the hood to watch the replay. They're going to kind of modernize, standardize that a little bit, bringing a tablet out to the referee now at midfield or whatever part of the field he's on. And then he will review it with headphones with the New York offices, with Dean Blandino, the head of officiating. And he will be in consultation with those guys, and the final call will actually be made in the NFL offices. So that's an interesting change. Panthers fans specifically might be glad that the leaping over the center or the long snapper, the snapper to block PATs and kicks is no longer allowed. We remember that famously in a playoff game against the Seahawks a few years ago. And then, you know, some other, you know, minor changes to defenseless player rules. One that was kind of tabled for later that is still under consideration is changing the overtime situation, making overtime a little bit shorter, possibly a 10-minute period, but that was not passed at this event. So, you know, kind of some standard stuff there for you.
Well, one of the big things is to catch up with our head coach, Ron Rivera, and also Dave Gettleman, who talked actually a little bit before the owners' meetings, but just to gauge their pulse, for lack of a better term, as we get ready, because the next time we'll talk to both of them really is at the draft.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have the head coaches have a breakfast meeting up there, down there in Phoenix in this case. That was a big deal. And Coach Rivera held court for an hour, and definitely a theme. Of course, he was asked about Cam Newton and his surgery, which was 2 days away at that point, as has since happened a few days ago. And he talked about a lot about the offense and Cam getting his confidence back, that's something he needs to regain, not in reference to the surgery. He feels good about that process, but in reference to kind of his faith in the offense, because a lot of things happened last year. Cam did not have a great year, but a lot of things happened around him, as Coach Rivera talked about, that contributed to that. You know, he's excited about the changes made up front, the way the offensive line can work. He feels very optimistic about Michael Orr having a role, being back in the mix again next season. And he's excited about the draft and what that can still do for the team as well. Talked about Kelvin Benjamin, which Dave Gettleman talked about as well. So a variety of topics, but one of the biggest themes was we're not shying away from the issues we had on offense last year. We're attacking them, and it's just a matter of regaining confidence on that side of the ball.
Well, as we said, we can get the needle back on to the Panthers and football, because when we put up our fan poll this morning, we thought everybody would be around the water cooler talking about last night's game, but about 2,500 or so of you responded, get to this poll, and our fan poll was, which one of these running backs fit the Panthers' offense? And really, like I said, we put it out there to get some conversation, and obviously a lot of folks are interested in this topic. And
we've got the number of votes.
On my trusty thing here, Leonard Fournette, 50% of the vote.
So there you go. Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, 24%. Christian McCaffrey, 19%. And Alvin Kamara, 7%. Did I say that right? Kamara.
Some, I think we agreed. God bless Kamara.
Potato. Right. But you got to get people's names right. What do you think about that poll, Max?
Well, you know, it does not a surprise, I would say. Of course, Fournette and the Panthers have really been connected throughout this offseason process. Brian and myself go through the mock drafts for a mock draft report weekly, and you see Fournette's name all the time with Carolina. It makes a lot of sense. You look at a physical downhill runner like Leonard Fournette. The Panthers like to run the ball with that physical downhill style. It's been no secret the Panthers have been in the market for another running back. Dave Gettleman talked about that at the scouting combine. So you put all that together, and Fournette being almost assuredly a top 10 pick looks like a good fit. And obviously fans have kind of jived with that as well. And you're talking about one of the biggest names in college football. So this is an exciting thing to think about, that possibility. But one thing we also know throughout this process is people have a lot of strong opinions about this running back group. And some people really like Leonard Fournette. Some people love Dalvin Cook. And some people love Christian McCaffrey. And the thing for me that's fascinating is all three of those guys, really the big three, if you will, for this running back class, bring something different to the table. You know, we talked about Fournette's style. You talk about Dalvin Cook, big play machine at Florida State, guy who can bring you maybe a little bit more out of the backfield as a pass catcher, get you involved in the screen game, maybe a little bit more comfortable with some zone read concepts than you would imagine a guy like Fournette, who's a more downhill runner. So you've got people very much in Cook's camp. And then, of course, there's McCaffrey, who we just wrote about our draft preview for the running backs on the website yesterday and kind of went through this. And we used the phrase kind of Swiss Army knife, because with McCaffrey, you get a guy who many people believe could be the best route runner in this draft, and he plays running back. But that's how good he is out of the backfield as a receiving threat. Takes so much pride in that. Obviously, it brings you a lot in the return game. Some people are scared off by his measurables, though. 5'11", 200 pounds. Does he have the physical kind of stature to hold up as a lead running back for a team? So you've got all these different kinds of strengths and weaknesses for these guys. They're all terrific prospects. Which one best fits the Panthers? Well, that's in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Well, some of our fans reacted to our poll as well. Let's hear what they had to say.
Well, this was an interesting comment as well, I thought, from Czech Panther, who says, no need to overdraft a running back in this year's class. Now, there's so many good running backs in the 2018 class, and this class is so deep that he feels a first-round pick steer clear running back. And that's another interesting – we can talk about how great those guys we just mentioned are. Mike, we talked about it before the show. There are guys you can get in rounds 2, 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. who could be potential starters in this league. So that poses an interesting question for teams about how you approach the running back position.
Well, let me hit that because, you know, being in this business, I'm able to argue both sides of an argument, both sides of an argument. Yes, there is great depth because as I went through the film in this draft, I haven't found a running back I didn't like.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with today's college game. And guys are varied. They have a lot of talent, like you talked about with McCaffrey. They're able to do a lot of different things. And teams are passing so much, they have to learn protections. So I saw some really, really deep talent in that draft class. The other thing, though, that I can say is now with the rookie wage scale, drafting a running back is not as big a risk as it used to be. So I can see both sides of that mm-hmm. conversation. How about you, Brian?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously those names are on the poll for a reason because – you know, at least the first three, the big three, as Max talked about, are the ones that you would, you know, probably have where the Panthers sit in the draft right now, have to pick at number 8 to get one of those guys. And, you know, of course, things happen. We know that guys drop. You can trade. You know, if McCaffrey's there in the 20s, you know, who knows what happens. But anyway, so once the 8th pick comes and goes, if the Panthers did not pick a running back, then, you know, the people that want a running back will turn their attention to the depth of this class, like you were talking about. I wrote a little bit about that. You know, Dalvin Cook's an ACC guy. Look at the depth of talent just from the ACC as far as I'm sound like a homer today. But anyway,
it's okay.
As far as running backs
are concerned. I'm surprised you didn't wear Carolina blue.
That's true.
Stuff.
I mean,
you would have been allowed.
Yeah, I wrote a little about James Conner. You know, great human interest story, too, from Pitt. I mean, that's a bull of a back. That's an interesting prospect in the middle rounds. Matt Days from NC State's getting a lot of love as kind of a guy that can do everything a la Christian McCaffrey, but obviously not anywhere near the buzz. But, you know, if that guy's there in the 4th or 5th round, maybe that's the direction you go. And the Tar Heels have a couple of prospects, too, that could well be drafted at running back.
Well, and even if you put the names aside, you just talk about the way the league has viewed running backs in recent history, and that's another part of this conversation. And you look at the production teams have gotten from guys drafted in rounds 4, 5, 6, even undrafted free agents at times, and it makes you wonder, do you need to invest a 1st or 2nd round pick in a running back? You look at the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, they invested draft picks in running backs, and you look at what it did for them, and that two-headed monster was pretty fierce. But you've seen also a lot of success stories where teams have brought in kind of unheralded, under-the-radar running backs in the middle rounds of the draft and had a lot of success. So you could see it both ways. Ezekiel Elliott is another guy who obviously the Dallas Cowboys had a lot of success with. But you look at the Bears and Jordan Howard as another one who was a tremendous player for them who didn't go till those middle rounds. So it poses an interesting question. How early do you take a running back? And it's really going to vary team by team, I think. But it's a question that is going to be interesting as we get closer to draft day.
As I went through tape looking at guys, one thing I've become convinced is that there is so much value in later rounds in this draft at a lot of positions that really – you can go best available and get value from in each round of the draft. I think it's going to be exciting. Well, one more running back topic since we last were on. Jonathan Stewart's contract was extended. One thing we do know is that Stewart will continue to carry the brunt of the load for the Panthers, and he and the team were both excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Jonathan's kind of lost in this mix, so to speak. It happens sometimes, you know, the draft excitement, all the Leonard Fournette talk, and, you know, some people even speculating that, you know, would the Panthers move on from Jonathan Stewart? I never thought that, didn't think that made any sense. Just look at how he ran last year. Still, you know, turning 30, but light on the carry total, all things considering, having split carries for all those years. You know, he was under contract for next year. They extended it to another year, and you know, he has he's the lead back for this team for a reason, and he's the starting point. Now, if you draft somebody, maybe, you know, you take a different approach with the backfield next year, but I have no doubt he's going to be a key person in that mix.
Yeah, Dave Gittleman talks about how he watched every carry of Jonathan Stewart's from last year and came away really impressed with the physicality he still brings to this game and what he can do for this Panthers offense. You know, Brian, you talked a lot about Cam and his faith and confidence in the offense last year and the struggles. That also could apply to Jonathan Stewart. You talk about the offensive line being banged up and have its effect on Cam. You could also apply that to Stu and the run game not being quite as successful as it had been in years past. But you know, with 28, you're always going to get a guy who's going to run extremely hard and fight for every inch. And it was interesting, after he signed that extension, I asked him, because as we're talking about, running backs have been really the theme of this offseason for Carolina as the draft is concerned. Our fans are talking about it constantly. It's been something that general manager Dave Gettleman and Ron Rivera have talked about. So I asked Stu, you know, how would you feel about the idea of a running back coming to this team via the draft? And he said, open arms, you know, and I thought it was an interesting response from him, because obviously he's a guy that still feels like he can carry the ball 15, 20 times a game, but understands the importance of fresh legs in the 4th quarter, talked about how valuable that can be. He's a guy who's a fan of running back play himself, has said, as a, you know, to put his scouting cap on, there's a lot of good talent in this draft at the running back spot. So if another running back were to come to this team from the draft, Stewart welcomed with open arms. And I thought that was interesting to hear from his perspective as we talk about this conversation in particular.
You guys know, and I've said it in the past, I love running backs. I would draft one every year. I would sign one every year. I'd hide a couple out in the condos over on Cedar Street just in case of emergency, because you can never have too many good running backs. I know there's limits. There's roster limits. But you can never have too many good running backs, because it's all good. A rising tide floats all ships. And when you have a good runner like him, you add somebody else to the mix, teams have to prepare. And eventually that will help Cam Newton do what he needs to do, and he'll hit those big plays on play action, because the defense will be in the box trying to stop those runs. And we saw that in the Raiders game when they got off, you know, they finally got the running game going, right, and then Cam was able to hit that big play action. Well, let's look ahead, guys. Our draft previews continue. Offense wrapping up this week, and then we'll start looking at defense. I will give you one clue. If I do a profile on a guy, that means I've looked at his tape and he looks good. I'm not going to say what the opposite is, but the bottom line is we continue to look through there, and as I said, one of the things I'm looking at is value late in the draft. Who are some of those hidden gems? And I've seen a few of them already, and we'll continue to look for those. And we all know we'll go through the draft. Someone will sign undrafted free agent and come in and make this ball club.
Yeah.
So with all this scientific work, it still comes down to you just don't know.
Right, right. Yeah,
but that's what makes it fun, too.
Yeah.
About this entire process. Everybody, you know, you're going to hear a lot of analysts, you know, talk like they do. But at the end of the day, everybody knows this isn't an exact science, and that's part of the fun of the draft process.
It is fun. I love the draft. As always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. It's Mike Kraft on behalf of the entire crew. We will see you next time on Panthers.com.